He's in Jacksonville. Talk Radio, WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Back on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Joining us now, part of the Trump 2020 Advisory Committee, also a senior fellow, not just any fellow, right? Not just any fellow, a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a former advisor on economic policy to the president, also now an informal advisor, Stephen Moore. Stephen, great to have you with us, man.
Hey, John, it's great to be with you. This is an amazing economy. I heard your segment on Trump giving a speech. You know, in the later part of that speech, he talked about how he has turned around this U.S. economy. Boy, is it something to behold. I mean, it's hard to find any statistic today, John, that is not headed straight north. What an improvement we're seeing in terms of jobs, wages, economic growth. Manufacturing, construction. It's just all over the economy. It's an unbelievable turnaround.
Stephen, you had a great article. This is why I was really excited to get you on. You had a great piece the other day in the Washington Times. And one of the things that you were talking about was Trumponomics. And you said, which is so, it's amazing that this hasn't been said by the legacy media, right? Because they lie all the time.
Right.
But what you said is, you said one of the key principles of Trumponomics is that faster economic growth can help solve a multitude of other social and economic problems, from poverty to inner city decline to lowering the national debt. Would you mind expanding on that for our audience, Stephen?
Well, sure. And by the way, I do a little self-promotion here. Art Laffer, you know, the great Art Laffer,
yes.
Economist.
The Laffer
he
curve.
And I have a book coming out in September called Trumponomics. And one of the themes of that book, we've talked many times to Donald Trump about this when we served as economic advisors to the campaign, is that when you get the economy growing and you get people working and making bigger paychecks, so many of the other problems of the economy, whether it's our debt problem, our deficit, whether it's inequality, whether it's poverty in America. You were mentioning the drug problem, which is such an epidemic today. It's a sign of hopelessness in a lot of these cities. Guess what, John? Donald Trump is bringing hope back to these places, and that's going to be the best way to cure this drug epidemic, is give people good jobs so they can make a living, because so many of those factories left the United States for one reason or another, and Donald Trump is bringing them back.
The economy is roaring ahead, Stephen, and you know, I want to share a couple things and get your take on it that the legacy media refuses to talk about. You look at the growth and you look at the fact that we're not only getting unemployment down, but what is happening, Stephen, is that the underemployed are getting better jobs, but so many people, Stephen, that dropped out of the job market in the recession are now going back into the job market. That's why you get the added jobs and the unemployment rate doesn't go down to that extent, because you're getting new people in, which means what? Expanding the pie. Paying taxes, being productive, having a job. They dropped out. Now they're going back in.
You're exactly right. Although, you know, the big problem with Obama, you know, we had a lowering in the unemployment rate under Obama. It fell a lot. It fell from about 11% to about 5%. It was kind of a joke statistic, because the reason that the unemployment rate was dropping was that people were dropping out of the workforce. So, you know, if someone, the way they do these surveys is they call you up on the phone, John, and they say, do you have a job? And then you might say no. And then they say, well, are you looking for a job? And you'd say, well, no, I'm not looking for a job. There aren't any jobs. So they wouldn't count you as unemployed. Did you know that? They would not count you as unemployed if you're not looking a job, because there are no jobs. Now we've got a situation, and we've got to make more progress on this, John, frankly. We've got to get more people into our workforce. You know, there are most areas of the country today have a shortage of labor, not a shortage of jobs. And there is no excuse for someone who is on welfare today, on food stamps or unemployment benefits or, you know, some of these disability programs and so on, not to be also in a job. I mean, you can get a job, if you have any kind of skill, you can get a job in 24, 48 hours today in most parts of the country, not all parts of the country. There are 18 states today, John. Did you know there's 18 states that have, under Donald Trump, their lowest unemployment rate that we've ever recorded?
18 states with the lowest unemployment rate ever recorded, with people coming back and entering the job market. And when you talk about bringing down the debt, Stephen, it almost gets back to the old Jack Kemp Hoffer curve back in the day, because the whole idea of it is, look, you don't score these things in a static economy. It's dynamic.
Right.
So that each person that didn't have a job that enters the job market, you now have a new tax base. You now have a bigger pie. Each company that grows, that starts up, they're paying taxes that weren't there in the past. So taxes go down, economic pie expands, actual tax revenue goes up, right? That's the objective.
You're exactly right. And that was the point of my article that you just cited in the Washington Times yesterday, or what's today, Wednesday, I guess it was in Monday,
right.
Is that, you know, we are actually seeing, despite the Trump tax cut, well, actually, because of the Trump tax cut, the economy exploded, but also we're actually seeing more revenues. Did you know that, John? The revenues that were collected in April, you know, April's the biggest month of tax collections for the government, obviously, because that's when people pay their taxes in April. They were up 13% from last year. I mean, we're not losing revenues. As you put more people to work and you give them a high, you know, as companies make more money and more companies go into business and less companies go into bankruptcy and more factories are moving here to the United States, not moving out of Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Virginia and states like that, guess what? You get more tax revenues. That was, you're so right to quote Jack Kemp, the great Jack Kemp, because Jack Kemp used to quote John F. Kennedy, and John F. Kennedy used to say, and Democrats don't believe this anymore, now it's Republicans who believe it, and it's right, a rising tide lifts all boats. Everybody does better when we have prosperity. And boy, has Trump, I mean, I saw the president a few weeks ago, John. As you know, I worked for him during the campaign, and I hadn't seen him in about a month or so, and I just, he was at Mar-a-Lago, and we just chatted for just a few minutes, and I just said, Mr. President, can you believe this, how the economy is doing? And he was just so excited. He said, this is incredible. And I said, it's working better than when we drew it up on that chalkboard 2 years ago. I mean, these policies like deregulation, lower taxes, pro-America energy policy, pro-business. This is a pro-business president. And we have a pro-business president. Business does better and workers do better.
No question about it. We're with Stephen Moore. He's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's got a new book coming out in September, Trumponomics. We're excited about it. He's writing that with a famous professor of the Laffer Curve back in the day. When I went to college, I did my master's thesis on that. Boy, that was a long time ago. It was back in the 70s, Arthur Laffer, the Laffer Curve. That's going to be coming out in a few weeks. Once again, doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on his promise not to sell out U.S. workers. And look at the EU whining. Look at the Canadians dribbling and whining about they're our ally. Well, if you're our ally, why have you been screwing us for 30 years on NAFTA and dumping timber and aluminum, subsidizing it in order to drive our steel companies and aluminum companies out of business? Why have you been doing that if you're such an ally? This is absolute nonsense. These people have been taking advantage of us for years and years and years. They have driven our factories into being shuttered. They're boarded up. They put our people out of work. They've subsidized and dumped products in order to drive whole industries out of business. And now we got Pierre Trudeau Jr., whatever his name is, talking about, well, why are you doing this to us? We're your ally. Well, allies work two ways. You've been screwing us for 40 years. And now we're fighting back because we want our jobs back. We don't want Canadian jobs. This isn't Canada first, NAFTA first, Mexico first, Berlin first, EU first, Brits first. This is America first. This is jobs first. This is factories first. This is manufacturing first. This is workers first. This is paychecks first. This is more hours first. This is bonuses first. This is your family first. Not Canada's trade policies so they can dominate the timber market. We used to make furniture in the United States. We make any more furniture? Entire industry they have wiped out. And he's going to tell me about allies? You have got to be kidding me. Joining us now to bring light to this whole darkness is Curtis Ellis. But before that, I have to tell you that I have a special message for you from America First Policies. You know, America faces a deadly enemy, drug addiction. More Americans died from drug overdoses in 2016 than died in the Vietnam War. Can you believe that? That's incredible, right? Than died the entire Vietnam War. Now, 3/4 of these drug overdose deaths are caused by opioids. Just recently, police seized 120 pounds of fentanyl. This is enough to kill 26 million people. Now, defeating this enemy is going to take leadership, commitment, and resources. It means better enforcement, strong borders to stop illegal drugs coming from China, Mexico, and other countries. It means better treatment so the sick and suffering can get the help they need and treatment providers have the tools they need. And it means ongoing support so all Americans have hope, purpose, and opportunity for a meaningful and drug-free life. Now, Congress is working on legislation to address this national crisis. And they need to hear from you. Call Congress today. Tell them we must end the opioid crisis. And for more information, go to AmericaFirstPolicies.org. That's AmericaFirstPolicies.org. This message paid for and authorized by America First Policies Incorporated. Speaking of America First Policies, joining us now, my good friend and cohort in the trade wars for 35 years. He is now a senior advisor for America First Policies, and before that, he was with the Trump administration in the Department of Labor transition team and the campaign, all that, former director of the American Jobs Alliance, now chairman emeritus, Curtis Ellis. Curtis, great to have you.
It's great to be here, John. Thank you for having me this bright and early morning.
I'm fired up today. It's like, you know what, if you believe in protecting jobs, today is like Christmas. Did you ever think in your life that, Curtis, you and I have fought this battle for so long against NAFTA and the Korea trade deal and all this nonsense. And as we fought it, we saw jobs going away, factories shutting down, industries collapsing like furniture. And we called it. Did you ever think you'd see a day like today where in the face of all the globalists, all the Wall Streeters, Goldman Sachs, Steve Mnuchin, the whole, they all ganged up on him. And this president said, nope, I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do for the last 3 decades. What do you think?
Yeah, we never thought we'd see this day. For the last 30 years or so, or even longer, the Bible of the globalists taught you that tariffs are bad. It's part of the same hokum that says borders are bad. We're going to eliminate borders. Our tariffs is a tax on the border. It's a border tax, right? Mm-hmm. And just the same way you can't have a country if you don't have borders, they want to eliminate, these globalists want to eliminate countries, they want to eliminate borders, and so they want to eliminate national identity. If you have a national economy, you're gonna put a tax on things coming in from other countries. If it's disabling your own country's industries. We never thought we'd see this, but thank God we have President Trump, and he's doing the right thing.
Now, what about...
Look, Canada, and Justin Trudeau's a joke. The people of Canada and the industries of Canada, for the most part, have been crippled by NAFTA the same way American industries have. The auto industry, Canada used to have an auto industry. It was integrated with the auto industry in Michigan, in America. You go over to Windsor, right across the river from Detroit. That's where all the engines for Pontiacs were made, came from the Windsor plant, part of the GM supply chain. That's all moved to Mexico. So,
right.
You know, Justin Trudeau, when he whines about NAFTA and whines about these tariffs, he's not standing up for the people of Canada any more than the people who, in this country, whine about renegotiating NAFTA are standing up for the people of America. They're standing up for the globalists. They're standing up for the for the elite 1%, 0.01% bankster global slave trade network that want to exploit cheap labor in Mexico. The people of Canada have been hurt by NAFTA as much as the people of America have been. So, you know, he pretends, you know, he puts on these crazy clothes and goes to India and pretends he's a Bollywood star. He talks about gender identity. He gives all the usual nonsense that the liberals talk about to pretend that he's on the side of the people, but he's not. It's really disgusting.
For him to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, how could you treat your ally this way? I mean, I said in my narrative, my opening, I could say the same thing. How could you treat your ally, the U.S., the way you've treated us by taking advantage of us and stripping us of entire industries? And it's unfair. You know, when you talk about fair trade, that means that you have an equal basis. Not like I'm going to go and I have a glut of trees, so I want to put the U.S. timber business just out of business, right? I want to get rid of them. Because then they have to buy all the lumber from me. So what do? I give government tax dollars. I subsidize the Canadian timber industry, right? So that their cost of producing timber and wood is lower than the market bears, right? Because they're subsidizing it. It would be like the government subsidizing my radio show so that I could sell my advertising at 50% of the cost of everybody else. I'd get all the ads, wouldn't I? Right?
That's right.
So they subsidize it. They dump the timber in. You go to Home Depot or Lowe's, it all says made in Canada. They're putting our entire timber industry out of business because they're selling under market value to get rid of the industry. So then, because they have a glut of timber. Now, how is that fair? How is that reciprocal? How is that treating an ally well to put our timber businesses and our people out of jobs? Where's the fairness there? Where's the all the sanctimonious stuff about you're my ally? Well, that's got to go two ways.
That's right. And look, they do the same thing with their dairy industry.
Same thing.
They do the same thing with their drug industry. They put price caps on the drugs. Everybody, all the Democrats say, well, let's import cheap drugs from Canada. Well, the reason the drugs in Canada are cheap is because the Canadian government puts price caps and price controls on the drugs, so the American drug companies have to cut prices in Canada. And guess what that does? That forces prices up in the United States because the companies have to make back their research and development costs somewhere. They do it on the backs of Americans because Justin Trudeau and the Canadians are getting a free ride. When he says ally, substitute the word freeloader, and you'll get the true picture of what's going on up there.
It is so ridiculous to hear him whining. And now you're getting the same thing from the EU. I just want people to understand how this works, okay? Because it is so unfair, and we've been screwed for so long, and we just sit there and take it in his shorts until the president finally has stood up. And I am so proud of this president, Curtis, because, look, he knows this. You know, he's been with us on this. Look, for people like Curtis and I who are protectionists, this has been a lonely road and a very lonely battle, and we've been made fun of and mopped on. And what the policy shops have done is funded by the free trade globalist Goldman Sachs bonus babies. What they've all done is they've turned free trade into a Pavlov's dog mantra. Free trade is good for you. Take this. You will feel better. It doesn't matter that you have no money and you don't have a job. Your iPhone is $10 cheaper. They fed that to you and fed it to you unabated. Because they've had the money and we haven't. This president knows that. So he's turned the tables. You look at a simple thing like a car. He says, you know what? Time to put a 25% import tax on cars coming in from Berlin and Germany and Bavaria and the EU. And everybody goes up in arms. Oh, it's going to devastate the car industry. Oh, it's going to do this. Oh, you're going to have to pay more. No, you get. Here's what happens, right? They make a Mercedes or a BMW in Germany. Right? They ship it to the United States. They pay a 2.5%. It's not even a tax. It's a port tax. It's simply to take the cars from the ship to the port on the dock, 2.5%. You make a Ford F-150 truck and you try to sell it in Berlin, you got an import tax, 10%. You got a value-added tax, 15%. Bing! Right there before anything else, 25%. So that means the cost of the Ford truck is now increased by 25%. So nobody in Germany buys it. It's overpriced. How does this make any sense?
Oh, that's right. And so, look, when you hear these people whining, the people at the EU or Germany or Canada whining and complaining about the tariffs, it means we're doing something right. It means they must have been getting a pretty good deal all these years off all this stuff. That's why they're screaming so loud, right? And it's just the way you explain it. There's a 25% tax, value-added tax, slammed on every American product coming into the European Union, and they're getting away with murder. They're getting a free ride when they send stuff to this country. That's got to end. I mean, we were looking during the transition period to at how you could, and there's a good case to be made that these value-added taxes. I don't want to get lost in the weeds here on this. This is they are subsidizing their exports and they're crippling imports from America. And that's illegal under international trade rules. But nobody's had the guts to make the case and to enforce it. And President Trump's finally starting to do it.
And then you've got, who is that person we just heard from for the European Union, their chief trade representative, who says, well, we're going to bring a lawsuit to the world court.
Oh, good luck with that.
Excuse me? You're going to bring a lawsuit against our policy on trade to who? Like, the world who? The world court? They're going to decide U.S. sovereign trade policy? I mean, this is how ridiculous this whole thing is.
Well,
I mean, people
exactly
just
right.
wake
you
up and the smell the coffee.
It's like, this is about the erosion of national sovereignty. We're supposed to bow down and surrender to the world court in Geneva. The World Trade Organization is supposed to set our tax rates. They're supposed to write our tax policy. The world court is supposed to write our criminal policy. You've got these world organizations that we're supposed to, they're going to determine what comes into our country, who comes into our country, what kind of migrants and workers and guest workers, how we write our visa policy is supposed to be decided in Geneva, not Washington. That's the vision these people have for us. And President Trump says, no, thank you.
No, thank you. That's it.
No, thank you. I'm president of the United States. I'm not president of the world. We had this guy, President Obama, who thought he was president of the world. He thought, we've got to do what's good for the global economy. And if we can raise people out of poverty in Malaysia, that's what we're going to do. President Trump says, we've got to do what's good for the United States of America. And if we can raise people out of poverty in Mississippi, that's what I'm going to do. Malaysia can take care of itself.
Curtis,
every country should take care of itself. Look, he said over and over again, China is doing exactly what China should be doing, looking out for what's best for China. It's about time we had somebody in Washington that looks out for what's best for America. As long as you do that, and everybody does that, the global economy will work perfectly. But when you've got everybody trying to figure out what works for the global economy, you get this mishmash, and it ends up what works best for Goldman Sachs.
Curtis Ellis, I'm out of time. I want to thank you for being with us. I really appreciate your input today. I know you're heading off to Florida. Good luck. Have a good weekend. Hey, just tell our audience very fast about, if you're comfortable with it, the interview you're going down, who you're going to meet with in Florida. I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, I'm going to Florida, and I'm going to meet with a 98-year-old woman who traveled to British Mandate Palestine, what was then called Palestine, the British Mandate, when the British managed the country that is now Israel. They managed the territory. And she, we're going to get an oral history of, she traveled there with her father in the 1930s. Her father bought the land from the people who lived there and the people who owned the land. And the land is now known as it's a city outside of Tel Aviv. So we're going to get this on tape and record the history of how the country now known as Israel was created. So when you hear people saying, oh, the Jews stole this land, that the Zionists stole the land from the Arabs, that's a lie. And I'm going to talk to the person who was there when it was purchased. It was bought. It was sold. And the Arabs were like, you want to give us money for this wasteland? Sure, we'll take all your money. You can have it all. You can have all the land you want. Let me bring my neighbor in. He'll sell you his land, too, because this is a joke.
So, Curtis, where else but the John Fredericks Radio Show do you spend 20 minutes talking about trade, tariffs, and how the land for Israel actually got first purchased, only on the John Fredericks Radio Network, all the same segment.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. It's taken 6 months, but the biggest wildfire in California's history is officially out. Forest officials made the announcement after they say no new hotspots have been detected over the past 2 months at the Los Padres National Forest. The Thomas Fire, as it was called, burned more than 440 square miles since it broke out in early December last year near the Thomas Aquinas College. Two people died as a result of the blaze. Heavy rains in January caused devastating mudslides in Montecito. A cop killer now behind bars. Tennessee authorities say they captured Stephen Wiggins yesterday after a two-day manhunt. The 31-year-old suspected of gunning down a police officer investigating a suspicious vehicle call. Italy's new populist leaders have commemorated the founding of the Italian Republic by attending a pomp-filled military parade, then promising to get to work creating jobs and expelling migrants. This is SRN News.
Hey, my name's Brandt. You ever make a change and then wonder, why didn't I do this a long time ago? That's what's happening for thousands of people with regard to their health care. They're joining MediShare, and then they're wondering, why didn't I already do this? For most members, it costs less than half what they were paying for their old health plan. There's a huge provider network, too. You can customize your plan, and this is awesome, MediShare members can go online with a doctor 24/7, so if you need a prescription for the flu or something, it's so convenient for you and your family. So yeah, this is one of those why did I wait on this things. And if you don't love your current health plan, you're not stuck with it. You can join MediShare anytime. By the way, to give you an idea, the typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. It just makes so much sense. Check it out. They're super easy to talk to. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483. Or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
Attention all business owners. Are you happy with your website? Is your website easily found on the internet? How about your social media? Does your company have a professional and engaging social media presence? If your answer is no, then contact Smarty Digital today for help with your website, digital marketing, or social media campaign. Call or click today for a free digital marketing audit. It will be the smartest decision you will ever make. Call Smarty Digital at 904-674-3370. That's 904-674-3370. Or click smartydigital.com.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
We're still accident-free all the major expressways around Greater Jacksonville, but emergency road construction, watch out for that. That's on I-95 northbound at the MLK 20th Street Expressway, blocking the right lane. A severe thunderstorm watch in effect till 8 o'clock tonight for most of northeast Florida and southeast Georgia. Some scattered showers popping up, and we may have some in the next hour or two, so be aware of that. 91 now, WBOB.
So excited to get Peter on. This is like Christmas for me. It really is. This is like Christmas, your birthday, your kid's birthday, your anniversary, all rolled into one day. I'm 60 years old. I've been fighting these bad trade deals for 40 years. I never thought I would see a day like today, ever in my life. And the president doubling and quadrupling down on his trade policies, bringing America jobs back. And it's just a great day that he has stood by everything he said he was going to do. Peter Navarro, right at the epicenter of it. He's right there in the middle. I mean, wouldn't you love to be him? This, look, if you believe in bringing American jobs back and American manufacturing. And you've been studying this like me, and you know how we've been screwed for 40 years on this stuff. Today is a day to go down in history. Peter Navarro is coming up momentarily. And so I just want to tell you that the economy booming along today. Trump economy adds another 223,000 jobs. That's up from 160 in April, 1,000 jobs. Unemployment down to 3.8%, down the lowest it's been in 50 years. Plus, here's the untold story. The number of people entering the job market that have dropped out. Here's the other thing that nobody talks about in the legacy media. They'd rather talk about Stormy Daniels. Okay? The number, this is off the radar screen. The number of former felons, people that were in jail and got out, who have gotten a job, is up 700% in the past 6 months. That, you talk about prison reform, recidivism. I mean, that means that there's jobs available. People are getting second chances. This is a booming economy. And here's the other thing. Hourly private sector earnings up again. Wages going up 2.7%, up in April 2.6%. It's a banner day. And it's almost like it's like the pick six of the trade weasel whiners, right? All in the same montage. You got Mexico whining, Trudeau whining, the European Union, Germany, the Chi-Coms, and Goldman Sachs. That is like the pick six of the trade whiners in America. It's a banner day. I'm having too much fun. Joining us now, my hero, Peter Navarro. He's the director of the Office and Trade and Manufacturing Policy and a senior advisor to President Trump. Peter, it's great to have you, man.
Hey, John, this is just a prelude to July 4th. Forget about this Christmas stuff. July 4th, Independence Day. Make America great again.
It really is. I don't know how you pulled this off because, you know, a week ago.
I didn't pull it off. The president pulls it off. Hey, John, let me explain something to you.
Go ahead.
In June of 2016, in Pittsburgh, the president made seven promises to the American people about exactly what he's going to do on trade policy. And all the president is doing is fulfilling those promises. Promises made, promises kept. He promised to put tariffs on aluminum and steel to defend our industries so we would have a country. You can't have a country without aluminum and steel industries. He promised to crack down on China stealing our technology. He's doing that with his 301. He promised to crack down on any unfair trade practices. He did it with the solar panels and the washing machines. And what's happening, John, is a beautiful thing. We've got money, both domestic money and foreign money, coming in, building facilities, factories that are going to make stuff with American hands. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you take the car industry, the president isn't saying, I don't want you to buy a Volkswagen or a BMW or a Mercedes or one of those other vehicles, the Italian vehicle. I'm not saying you can't buy that. I'm saying that either they build the plant here in the United States and employ our people, or we pay a 29% tariff to sell a Ford truck there. They pay 2.5%. So our workers get screwed. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah, you know, the first thing they say is, oh, we're your allies. How can you do this to us? Well, guess what, Europe? Here's what you're doing to us. You sell a Beamer here, send it over from Germany. It's 2.5% tariff, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe a 5 to 10% sales tax, depending on where you live. You try to send a Ford or a General Motors car over there, it's, first of all, it's a 19% value-added tax, 19%, and a 10% tariff. So that's not fair in reciprocal trade. Don't tell us that you're our friends. Every time that we send more of our money over there, we're sending our jobs over there. So all the president wants, all President Trump wants, is reciprocity, fairness, and we're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the other thing. When they all whine at the same time, you know you've done something right, right? And that's why it's like this is like the pick six of trade policy because we got them all complaining, all six of them complaining in the same day. And look, Peter, I know there's a lot of pressure, and you know you got Goldman Sachs, Wall Street, a lot of money flows in, Republican donors. I get it. I've been fighting this battle like you have for four decades, right? So I get it. But look, these people at Wall Street, I'm going to be quite frank, they don't really care about if you have a job or not. They care about what's their quarterly earnings of the stocks they picked and how much money will their bonus be. You know, meantime, where people can't get jobs. You take the steel and the aluminum industry, they're complaining now, well, costs are going to go up. Based on what metric is that, okay? Because right now what you've got is you've got the Chinese government subsidizing their steel industry with Chinese confiscated tax dollars dumping the steel and the aluminum in the United States. And Peter, it's like the president said, how do you have a country if you can't make steel?
Yeah, it's really amazing how Wall Street tries to dominate this debate, and it's, you know, it's a powerful force, and it is the swamp. And the president has done a very courageous thing standing up to them. It's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy for this president to do what he's doing on behalf of the working men and women of this country who don't have the big lobbyists on K Street. But you know what? He's doing what's best for this country and what's right for this country. And I'm telling you, it's working. I mean, you saw two things I'll tell you about. Today, the jobs report came out. It's 3.8% unemployment. Manufacturing jobs are outperforming anything they've done in the past 10 or 15 years. So that's all good. And today, there's a piece of USA Today which is about a groundbreaking that's taking place in Appalachia, John. Okay, Appalachia, they're building a new aluminum rolling mill because of the President Trump's tariff and tax policies. Now, check this out. The median household income in Ashland is $44,000, well below the national average. The starting salary for one job at that mill is $66,000. So the theme of the article is that no president has done more to win the war on poverty than Donald Trump since Lyndon Johnson declared it back in the 60s. And think about it. We got African-American and Latino unemployment at historic lows, and we're going into places like Hawesville, Kentucky, and Ashland and building these aluminum and steel plants. It's a beautiful thing, John.
You know, and it's a war on poverty the way it was meant to be, by providing jobs and opportunity for people
exactly. So
they can lift themselves up.
This is a hand up, not a handout. These are great jobs. And you know what? What's cool about this, John, is that this is a kind of a holistic approach. In addition to the tax policies and tariff policies driving this and incentivizing these investments, the Secretary of Labor, Acosta, he's a great guy. He's a great American. He's working hard on these apprenticeship programs to build up the skills of Americans so they can take the jobs that we create. And so this whole package down in Ashland and Appalachia also has this worker training component. And so all of this is happening all around the country, whether it's Granite City, Illinois, or Hawesville, Kentucky, or Ashland. It's a good thing.
I tell you what, and now you're looking at the numbers, and once these tariffs take root and these, whatever you want to call them, trade partners, tough to be in a partnership when you're getting, you know, screwed, but I guess, I don't know what you would call them, associates or something.
We literally have the lowest tariffs and non-tariff barriers in the world by a country mile. And we have a humongous trade deficit. Now, those two things aren't unrelated, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you basically have balanced trade and you have the jobs you should have here in manufacturing if your partners and allies basically are charging more for your exports than we're charging for their imports? I mean, it's just the math isn't working. And you know what's remarkable about this China thing, John? I mean, look, yep. China's been taking our stuff. They steal it. When an American company goes over to Chinese soil and want to sell to the Chinese people, the American company's got to hand over their technology. It's called force transfer. So they steal it. They force it. They evade our export controls, which is designed to prevent the Chinese Communist Party from acquiring militarily sensitive weapons to use possibly against us. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in big bags of money from our Walmart dollars. They're state-backed funds, sovereign wealth funds, coming in and scouring places like Silicon Valley for the creme de la creme of small companies engaged in the industries of the future that we're going to need in order to be prosperous. Artificial intelligence, robotics, blockchain technology, advanced manufacturing. So what is it about this country that we elected presidents Obama, Bush, Clinton, and all of this was happening before their eyes, and they never did anything about it? In fact, it's worse than that. Clinton was the one who got China into the World Trade Organization and created the economic juggernaut that it is on the backs of working men and women in America and the rest of the world.
Yeah, that was the other big lie, Peter. I mean, there's a lot of lies out there that, you know, Wall Street sends down on you, and then they get their think tanks that which they fund to do white papers on them. But that was the other big lie. Well, if you bring China into the World Trade Organization and you give them access to global markets, you know, then they're going to everything is going to change, right? Then they're going to see the value. They're going to be a good world citizen,
and peaceful.
It's right.
How's that working out?
Oh, my goodness. You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Truck the Truth Across America, live in Washington, D.C., where talking to Peter Navarro at the White House. He is the director for the president of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy. And, you know, you talk about the trade deficit, Peter. You know, that money that goes out, even if you just take the $500 billion trade deficit with China, so everybody knows what this means. This is $500 billion of U.S. cash going from the United States a year, going from the United States to Beijing, right? Going from here to there. And when they talk about, oh, there's going to be a trade war. Well, we're already in one. We're getting our ass kicked. I mean, now we're fighting back. It's like now we've actually, we have an offensive. I mean, we have actually, you know, put a tank on the field. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, this issue of China basically acquiring the crown jewels of American technology and intellectual property is a very, very serious matter to the American people. And to the extent that the American people better understand this whole issue, I think they'll better understand why it is so important for this president and this administration to act on this issue with the appropriate tariffs and investment restrictions that are going to be put in place this month. Because we can't allow what's going on, John. It's just it baffles me, the people who think that trade deficits don't matter. I hear this all the time. It baffles me because if we're losing basically $500 billion a year over a decade, basically, adds up to trillions and trillions of dollars in foreigners' pockets who come back, and what do? They buy up America. They buy up our houses, our farmland, our companies. They buy our treasury bonds, which, I mean, that's good in a way because it helps us fund our big budget deficits, although that's not good in and of itself. But what it does is it requires the American taxpayer to finance the interest payments that are going out to those foreigners rather than to use that money for things like public works projects, highways, new airports, new internet. I mean, President Trump is really seeing the chessboard. He's making the right moves, and we all got to support that because Wall Street's going to try to shake us.
Well, look, it happened 2 weeks ago, Peter Navarro. I did a column on it, and I don't want to air, you know, dirty laundry, but I know you were involved in a heated discussion and different policy views. I was singing your praises then, but, you know, Wall Street, Goldman Sachs put a lot of pressure on certain people in the White House. I'm not going to mention names. And, you know, somebody comes out and says, well, we cut the steel. China says they're going to cut the deal and they're going to cut the deficit in half. By when? Well, sometime. How? Well, it's all coming. And you know what? This is the same lies they've been telling us. You know, it's like when Obama tried to negotiate the Paris Accords with him, And they said, yeah, we'll stop building coal plants in about 20 years, maybe. It's ridiculous.
It really doesn't parse. But, you know, we do have a marker for this. It's over a year ago now, we signed a deal with them for them to buy more beef, right? Mm-hmm. It was hailed at the time as a great deal for America, this, that, and the other thing. But the reality is, it just, they haven't, you know, where's the beef? They really haven't fulfilled that obligation. So you wonder if you scale that up and they promise to buy, say, $100 billion worth of stuff. I mean, you wonder how much of that is promise and how much of that would ever translate into actuality.
No, they just don't.
There's a track record here.
So they just stall for time.
We're going into this clear-eyed, and President's doing exactly what needs to be done for this country.
And exactly what he said he was going to do, and exactly what he promised he would do. But, Peter, I got to tell you, I'm so happy that you're there, and I know you're fighting for us, and you're fighting for the things that we believe in, and you're fighting. Yeah, because, look, you have competing views on a staff. That's the way the president likes it. He likes to have competing people.
It's healthy, John. It's healthy. He needs that.
I mean, that's how he's run his businesses.
That.
So
thing.
That's his style. So in that kind of an environment, for American workers and for jobs and for sovereignty and for future wage growth, we need Peter Navarro in that job, and they're fighting for what he believes in, which shares our view that you have to put American jobs ahead of everything else. Peter, thank you. Great job. I really appreciate the time.
All right. Great show, John. You keep knocking it out of the park there.
All right. Peter Navarro, the Director of Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy for President Trump, Senior White House Advisor. Peter, have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us. Here's the good news. Dave Bossie, caught in traffic. I know you're going to find that to be a shocker, has just came in. We're going to give him a chance, though, to catch his breath. Dave, good to have you with us. Dave Bossie.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
Dave Bossie, happy to be here. Dave Bossie, the co-author of the book, Let Trump Be Trump. What have I been telling you for months? It's a must read. A must read, Let Trump Be Trump. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble. You can buy it at your favorite bookstore. You can go on the internet. You can Google it. Let Trump Be Trump. Great read, Dave Bossie. The former deputy campaign manager with Kellyanne Conway brought Trump over the finish line to victory. Got to read the book.
He brought us. What do you mean?
We
had a great time. You know, Corey Lewandowski and I wrote the book to really reminisce, you know, and talk about the greatness of the campaign. And when I say that, it's not just about the, you know, the day-to-day of it, but to bring people back to the mission of why and the important issues of 2016 that got Donald Trump elected to begin with. That's what this is about. That's why we wrote the book. We wanted to bring people back to and spread once again, that good news of what the Trump presidential campaign was about. And it was about making America great again. And it was about going back to an America first position on everything. And it was about a president who wasn't afraid to be the leader of the American people and be unabashedly proud of being an American again. And I think that you've seen over the last 16, 17 months the result of the November 2016 election, right? Election, as Barack Obama said, elections have consequences. And you just look at our economy. You look at what's going on in our foreign policy. You know, President Trump actually being a leader from the front, right? Forward-leaning strength. And going back to that peace through strength policy that Ronald Reagan really, you know, made so famous in the 80s during his presidency. So we have so many great things going on today, and we're so happy about where America is and what the agenda is that's going on in America. You know, And one of the reasons that I wanted to sit down with you today, and I'm so glad you wanted me on, is to talk about the importance of November. You know, this November is vitally important to this president, and the results will matter on election night because it will either reaffirm what we did in 2016, or it will be virtually the end of the Trump agenda. We have two ways to go this November. We have to hold the House. It is we have two big jobs. One is to expand our majority in the United States Senate, and two is to keep the House by any means necessary. A majority, a Speaker Pelosi gets us an impeachment. That's when you get an impeachment.
And you said to me that if the Democrats take over and Pelosi Speaker, they'll impeach the president in 90 days.
I think that's true. I think that is, well, if you look at what they offer from a public policy standpoint and a legislative agenda, have none.
It's impeachment.
It's two things, impeachment and roll back the tax cuts. Those are the only two things that they have going for them as far as an agenda is concerned. And I don't think the American people want another impeachment 20 plus years later. I think that they want to get back to the business of America. They want to get back to business of making our economy again, lifting up our kids, our grandkids, to make sure that every American, it doesn't matter your age, your color, your race, it doesn't matter your religion, all Americans get lifted up when you have a freer, more prosperous America. And that's what this president has been focused on like a laser beam over the last 17 months of his presidency. And we've seen the results.
Look, the results have been phenomenal, but the mainstream legacy media rather talk about Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels and fake Russia collusion.
Yeah.
So even when you look at yesterday, I mean, the president signed, sealed, and delivered the right to try bill. Now, that's been floating around, that idea, for some time. It came and emanated from the White House. They got people to write the bill. They got it passed. The president signed it. It could save lives. Not a peep out of anybody on it, Dave.
No. The left is crazy. They cannot support anything that this president puts his name on. If the president even looks at a piece of legislation and thinks about supporting it, the left comes out against it. You look at prison reform. You look at something that liberals in the House and in the Senate have wanted to do for years, have claimed they want to get, you know, sentencing restructuring and rehabilitation programs and all of these. And I'm not an expert in this area, but you look, just look at the contradiction of what the left is. Cory Booker and others, other leaders, Kamala Harris, other leaders on the left, the hardcore left, have been talking about prison reform for years.
Right.
And now President Trump has been championing prison reform, is going to work towards prison reform, and these people can't be for it because President Trump is for it. So if it passes the House and Senate, or if it passes the House, these senators, it's going to be funny. You're either going to have to see them, they're in a box. They either have to support prison reform, something that they've been personally for a long time, and therefore be with President Trump on something,
right,
or be against something that they have dedicated their lives to.
Plus, it's needed.
Of course,
it's needed.
Oh, and that
because,
too.
Because
right.
we have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the free world, Dave, and it's 2-1. It is even close.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
The 2018 election season is underway. WBOB
is your 2018 election authority. Every candidate.
Our friend, State Representative Matt Caldwell, one of the Republicans running for the Agriculture Commissioner.
Every issue.
How is it possible that Hillary Clinton, her campaign, the DNC, are not under investigation for collusion with the Russians?
Every day. WBOB, your 2018 election authority. AM 600 WBOB Jackson.